Good morning. This is Word Made Flesh, the radio ministry of Neighbors of Hope. We'll share struggles and triumphs and how through the Word, everyone can experience the loving and healing reality of Christ's compassion. Now here's the Neighbors of Hope Executive Director, Pastor Stephen Palmer, with this week's Word.
Well, good morning, gentlemen. Welcome to this week's edition of Word Made Flesh. How are we doing?
All right. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right. Bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. Before we jump right into our lesson, our conversation for today, I do want to give Neighbors of Hope a little plug for our listening audience. If they're unaware, in less than 2 weeks, on Saturday, November 9th, Neighbors of Hope has been blessed to bring renowned comedian Jeff Allen to Tecumseh Center for the Arts that evening. And so I'd like to invite the listening audience, if you haven't already, to consider purchasing tickets, because we're real excited about the event, because we've been blessed with some sponsors who have helped underwrite the cost of bringing Jeff in. So if you were to purchase a ticket, 100% of that proceeds from that ticket comes to benefit Neighbors of Hope and all the ministries that we do. So if you like good, clean Christian humor, right, then Jeff Allen's your guy. And if you like Neighbors of Hope and would like to donate to Neighbors of Hope and have fun doing it, then I would invite you to join us Saturday, November 9th, for the Jeff Allen Show. His tour is The America I Grew Up On, or Grew Up In. To obtain tickets, you can go to thetca.org. Yeah, we're real excited about that. That'll be fun. So, all right, gentlemen, we've been getting ready to wrap up our Brennan Manning study on the Ragamuffin Gospel, and really seems over this past week we've kind of diversed into several different deeper topics. So we'd maybe see if we can attempt to tie some of those together. My hope is today's conversation is taking what Brennan writes in the Ragamuffin Gospel along with some of our weekly conversations, and put that into a more practical application for our spiritual formation. You know, something that we can learn to practice. And like anything else, it's a practice, it's a discipline. And the more we practice it, the more disciplined we are, the better we become at it. All right? Those type of things. So, the first scripture I'd like to have us look at then comes from Paul's infamous writing in his first letter to the people of Corinth, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Right, that infamous passage on love. I just want to look at a snippet out of that 13th chapter. I want to look at verses 4, 5, 6, and 7. So if I could have somebody read that for us, we'll jump right in.
Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. Just first thoughts. Let's start there. I think we're all somewhat familiar with the scripture text from Paul on love. This little section of that pericope kind of hits home, or at least it should. We're getting our spiritual growth. So as you heard Eric read that, maybe you're reading along yourself, what jumped out at you?
The love that you have for other people.
Oh, okay.
But do you have that love for yourself, though?
Ah, interesting. Yeah. Yeah, that's always a challenging question for all of us.
But to me, that's the definition of love. I think it kind of describes, like, right there, is like unconditional love.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. In the Greek, we're talking about the agape.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That self-look really makes me read six differently, as love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. As Mark said, that turning that lens interiorly is interesting. Because how much do I look at myself and really like to focus on the negative and not rejoice in the truth of my identity in God?
And I appreciate that, because that's a nice little segue to maybe the direction I like to move the conversation around this scripture. If I said before we went on the air, if I was to summarize what Paul's saying here in these four little verses, we could best, if we want to internalize this, then we want to say that Paul is saying love is not offended. And, you know, that hits home pretty hard for most of us, because think of the little things, right? And that could be with a spouse, right? With a child, with the church pastor, all these relationships we have, you know, a co-worker, an employer, it goes on and on. How quickly, more often than not, we are offended. And I think if we summarize what Paul's saying is love is not offended. Because if you're not offended, you're not going to be envious. If you're not offended, you're not going to be bitter. If you're not offended, right? You're not going to be resentful. All these things. But yet we get offended, don't we? Which then begs the question, right? Or at least it begs a look into ourselves as a barometer of our spiritual progress. I think the more we grow in Christ, the less offended we should be.
Amen.
And so if we're still quickly getting offended on certain things, maybe we haven't grown quite as much as we thought we had. Right? Now, let me try and add. It's very difficult, particularly in our culture, not to be offended. And what do I mean by that? We have to appreciate that our culture is really nothing more than an extension of our egos, collectively. And yet, isn't it our ego that's always offended? Right? My ego. Look, I see me as this, and so therefore, Eric, you should see me as this. And when you don't, right? I'm offended. You know. Don't you know who I am? And that's my ego. Now, Paul would say elsewhere in his writing in Colossians that we're supposed to put to death that sarx. The Greek word is sarx. It oftentimes gets translated in the English as sinful nature. But if we understand what sarx is in that Greek context, we're basically talking about our ego. That needs to be put to death. That needs to be crucified, which is some of the things we talked about earlier in the week. Part of our spiritual formation, right, is moving from incarnation to crucifixion to resurrection. And unless you're going to crucify that, put to death that ego, the transformed new creation cannot emerge. And so when we live in a culture that is just an extension of our collective egos, and we engage in that Monday through Saturday only to spend an hour or two on Sunday morning, and if we were really honest, oftentimes even our Sunday morning services aren't necessarily a respite from the culture.
Mm-hmm.
They too can oftentimes represent an extension, right, of the egocentric culture of which we immerse ourselves in. I share all that because it just seems every day then, 24/7 pretty much, We're caught up in this idea that I'm enslaved by an egocentric culture that I so deeply desire to escape from, but because of my enslavement, I catch myself being offended more and more than I should if I'm really deeply rooted in the love of Christ. Okay, John, that's kind of my explanation. What are some of your reflections on that?
Well, I think if you live by love God, love your neighbor, and I'm pretty much sure that we're all here to either learn how to love God, love your neighbor, Says it for itself, you know. If you love God, love your neighbor, like you told us, we don't need this.
Yeah, there comes this kenosis that we've talked about earlier in the week, where, you know, Paul speaks in the second chapter of Philippians. It's this sense of emptying himself. Jesus empties himself. Well, what's he emptying himself of? It's love, despite you putting nails in my hands. It's love, despite you spitting on me. It's love, despite you beating me and torturing me. It's love, despite the fact that you betrayed me. It's love, despite the fact that you abandoned me. It's love, despite the fact you reject. You see what I mean? He doesn't become offended. He just loves. And so, it's hard. We have to admit, it's hard to function at that level in a culture that is, you know, egocentrically aligned, that pushes back on that.
But you know, you said Mark said a good point, man. Unconditionally.
Yeah.
Unconditionally. Yeah. And I think that's so hard, like for me, I know myself, that I never had unconditional. I never had love.
Right. Okay. Right. Yeah.
So I come here not just broken hearted, but broken spirited, but broken, how would you say, nurturement. You know what I mean? I mean, growing up in a society that, hey, I had to make my own. I had to make my own everything. My own laws, my own, you know, how I thought about people, how I loved people, how I didn't love people, how I didn't like people, how I dished people, how I treated them.
Yeah.
Didn't treat them right.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, you're right. It's hard.
So, you know, Richard, here's some good news. You don't have to live like that anymore.
Right. Amen. Mm-hmm.
Although this new way of life is not easy. Thank you. Appreciate everything that you shared on this edition of Word Made Flesh. So until we meet again, may God's peace, love, and joy be with you always.
Thank you for listening to Word Made Flesh. Neighbors of Hope brings people hope through a comprehensive suite of Christ-centered programs that include the Men's Ministry, Blessings and More Resale Store, our Third Day Farm Project, Fishes and Loaves Food Pantry, and of course our radio ministry, Word Made Flesh. We're also in the process of establishing a Women's and Children's Transitional Housing Program. Find out how you can become a Neighbor of Hope at neighborsofhope.com. And please join us again next Sunday morning for Word Made Flesh.